Please keep your Bibles open in Isaiah chapter 7 and chapter 8. So we're going to consider a few verses there. Let me start with this question this morning. So, what situations do bring shame to you? What situations do or could bring shame to you? I remember when I was a child, as many of you already know, me and my brother were really terrible and naughty. So one day we invited to our fake birthday a few neighbors. So they arrived with a lot of gifts and no one was at home. Of course, after that, my mom arrived, and Latin American moms are not like British moms. I just say that I didn't see the light for a week, but it wasn't good. Those people were really ashamed because they went really well dressed with gifts to a party and no one was there. Maybe the idea of even that nightmare of having food stuck in our teeth where we are in a very important party, and you know, that idea is, it could be quite shameful. But being a bit more serious, just think, what about being a Christian? Saying, what are you doing on Sunday? Well, I'm going to church. I was waiting in the bus stop like 2 or 3 days ago. And one man asked me, what is your job? And I said, I work for church. And the first thing he said is, oh, you get all the money there, right? And I was like, no, I wouldn't be taking the bus if I get all the money. And I was like, oh, yeah. But that was what he was thinking about that. So being ashamed about maybe Christianity, being ashamed about the ideas of Christianity or other stuff. Maybe being ashamed of being a Christian could be as being ashamed of your own nationality. My best friend, when I was growing up, his father was an Argentinian. And one day I asked him, where is your father from? And he was terribly ashamed of telling me that he wasn't from Argentina. But when, once he said it, I said, yeah, that's great. And the relief came to his face. So being ashamed, it could be really, really, really heavy in our hearts. Maybe as Christians, being part of a minority and the fear of looking like idiots in front of other people could be a great, great heavy in our hearts. We were studying the book of Isaiah, and we talk about Ahaz, King Ahaz, who was God's king, king of Judah. And as Garth told us last week, this king was an unfaithful king who didn't trust in the Lord, who didn't put his faith in the Lord. And because of that, he was receiving God's judgment, not only him, but all the people of God at that moment. He didn't cry out for help to the Lord. Instead, he said, oh, hey, King of Assyria, will you help me? And King of Assyria was his trust. So he ended up crying up for help to this king instead of trusting in God. And that was his act. But what about the people? People also, because they were scared, they were putting their confidence, they were putting their faith in everything else surrounding them but the Lord. And that was the problem in this context. Basically, being ashamed led Ahaz and all the people of God to an attitude of unfaithfulness to God. Such a powerful can have shame in our hearts. It can lead us to stop trusting in the Lord and in His word. So let me ask this question. What is the problem with shame? And let me tell you one thing. The problem is, and this is a phrase, number one, you get what you give yourself to. You get what you give yourself to. And this is the case with Ahaz. So look in your Bibles what happened with this king. Ahaz receives judgment. Look at verse 18 with me. It says, in that day, the Lord will, and there is a lot of judgment. Check verse 20, how it starts. In that day, the Lord will, and there is another phrase of judgment. Verse 21, in that day, and another word of judgment. And finally, verse 23, in that day, in every place where there were 1,000 vines worth of 1,000 silver shekels, there will be only briars and thorns. In that day. So what the Bible is saying that in that day, Ahaz and his kingdom is going to receive judgment from the Lord. And all the phrases there are speaking about a land being occupied, a land being destroyed, a land being impoverished, a land decayed. So instead of having a prosperous land, trusting in the Lord, all the land was going down. Poverty, invasion, decay, people stripped. And we are saying, you get what you give yourself to. And here's the thing. King Ahaz is going to receive judgment from the one people who he put his trust on, which is, of course, the king of Assyria. So he was trusting, he was confident, that king is going to save me. And on the contrary, that king ended up destroying him and the city. Check with me, for example, verse chapter 8, chapter 7, verse 18. In that day the Lord will whistle for flies from the Nile Delta in Egypt and for beasts from the land of Assyria. He is meaning, well, what is going to happen is that king is going to be there. And then go to chapter 8 and verse 4. For before the boy knows how to say, my father or my mother, the wealth of Damascus and the plunder of Samaria will be carried off by the king of Assyria. And check with me also verse 7. Therefore the Lord is about to bring against them the mighty flood waters of the Euphrates, the king of Assyria, with all his pomp. It will overflow and all its channels run over all its banks, and sweep on into Judah, swirling over it, passing through it and reaching up to the neck. Its outspread wings will cover the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. So the scene is the next. The prophet Isaiah comes, and the prophetess has a kid. He puts a very funny name to that kid. Verse 1, the name of that kid is Maher Shalal Hashbaz. That's a name. Good name, right? And that kid, before he learns to say a few basic words, the judgment of the Lord is going to come through the king of Assyria to, verse 4, Damascus and Samaria, and finally, verse 7, to Judah. So, the king that Ahaz trusted ended up being his destruction. I'm sure you saw those science fiction movies where humanity creates technology or robots, and at the end, robots end up destroying humanity. So that thing we created ends up destroying us. In this case, the king that Ahaz trusted in ends up destroying him. There is a story of an old Greek king named Agamemnon. His story is the next. He was so proud of himself and about his victory that he was gone. He was really, really trusted in that. And because of that, because of his blind confidence in himself, he ended up being killed in a very, very shameful way in a bathroom, basically. Pride, trusting in the incorrect thing, it could lead us to destruction. You can get what you give yourself to. And you can end up rejecting the Lord. Check verse 6 with me. Because these people has rejected the gently flowing waters of Shiloh and rejoices over resting at the source of Himalaya. Therefore, the Lord is about to bring against them the mighty flood water of the Euphrates, the king of Assyria with all his pomp. That is basically what is going on here. King Ahaz being destroyed by the person in whom he put his trust. Just think in your own life, potentially, what could it be that thing in what you are putting your trust instead of the Lord that could end up destroying you? Anything that is not God will end up destroying you. It could be money, it could be work, it could be success, it could be being accepted by all people, or that desire. It could be family, it could be many things. That is the problem. Pride led Ahaz to that. Shame of people, the people being shameful, led them to follow Ahaz on that. Verse 12 is telling us what happened with them. Chapter 8, verse 12. Do not call conspiracy everything these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. People are ashamed, fearing everything. And that's our second point. Give yourself then to God. That is the call. Give yourself to God. People is ashamed, calling conspiracy to things that they don't understand, and they are ashamed of following the Lord. They rather put their trust in different things. They might be scared of what they are going to happen with them. And instead of fearing that, check what verse 13 says. So let me read again from verse 12. Do not call conspiracy everything these people call a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. What should we do then? Verse 13. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. So Isaiah is telling the people, do not fear the people from outside. Do not fear the things that people fear. Fear the Lord. And what does it mean that? It doesn't mean the same as our word fear in our modern times. It actually means, one author says, to fear the Lord means to reverence Him and seek to please Him by obeying His word. To reverence the Lord. Seek to obey Him, seek to follow His word, seek to please Him. And that's actually what is going on. They are trying to please things outside, people outside, ideas outside, but they are not trying to please the Lord. And actually, the promise is so great. Look at verse 14. The promise is, if you fear Him, if you fear the Lord, if you reverence Him, if you seek to please only Him, verse 14, He will be a holy place. For both Israel and Judah, He will be a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. He will be a holy place. Other version says, He will be a temple. What it's saying is, His presence will be with you. And when God's presence is with us, then we don't fear anything else. If God's presence is with us, then we don't fear anything else. One author says, we fear men so much because we fear God so little. But when we fear God, we do not fear nothing else. And that is the change. Instead of fearing man, instead of fearing what is going to happen to you, instead of fearing what's going to happen with this and such, you should fear the Lord. Try to please Him, and He is going to answer you. He is going to be a temple for you. He is going to be with His presence with you. So maybe the things surrounding you won't change necessarily, but He is going to be with you. And for the Christians, that is enough. That the Lord is with you changes all the equation. Because His presence can lead us to live different lives, even though we are suffering or we are lacking things. We can just be trustful that He is with us. He can protect us. And even though things cannot change on the exterior, our hearts can change. And our vision of things can change if the Lord is with us. Do not be ashamed. Do not fear other things. Fear the Lord. And actually, as we were saying, fearing the Lord means looking to please Him and obeying His word. So, this is the test. When we don't fear the Lord, we don't care about His word. Why are you saying that? Look with me, verse 19. Look what they do. These people that doesn't fear the Lord, look what they do. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? So instead of trusting God's words, what are they doing? They are trusting, they are consulting mediums and spirits. And verse 20 says, instead of doing that, consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Who do you trust? And that is the test. When we are not fearing the Lord, when we are not looking to please Him, we start trusting different things. That is not the word of the Lord. And in our word, it could be a lot of things. It could be even spirits. It could be horoscope. It could be science. It could be etc., etc. But do you trust in the word of the Lord to help you live your life, to help you please the Lord? If you do, He promised to be a temple for you. He promised to be with you. He promised to take care of you. That is the promise of the Lord. Check verse 17 with me. Look how the prophet puts it. I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding His face from the descendant of Jacob. I will put my trust in Him. So this was the problem. They were putting their trust. They were waiting that the king of Assyria is going to save them. That was the king Ahaz. And the people was following him because they didn't want to go against him. And they were going to be destroyed. like that king in who they put their trust. And through this passage, the Lord is telling us the same. Don't be destroyed by everything else. We have a saying in Argentina, which is bread for today, hunger for tomorrow. And those are the things that in which we can put our trust. They can give us peace one day, a week, years. But only the Lord can give you eternal peace. Only the Lord promises you eternal company, fellowship with you. Will you trust in Him? Or will you put your trust in an object, in a house, in the numbers in your bank account? Where will you put your trust? He promises to be a temple for you. Let me just go with you. Please do come with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's see how the New Testament puts it. In the Church Bibles, it's page 1218. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. As you come to Him, the living stone, He's speaking about Jesus, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to Him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall." God can be a temple for you. His presence can go with you. But He can be for you a shattering stone, a refugee for your soul, but also He could be a stumbling rock. And my question for you is, in which side you are? Let me just pray.